I did a Google search or an internet search this week because that's where I really wanted to get wiser, so I searched the internet. So because everything on the internet, I think, has been verified as absolute truth. And so the first thing I do when I'm struggling with anything or want to know some, I type it into the internet search, and it's usually a Google search. And you know that the Google has more O's in it. That means there's more pages, right? I think they coincide with one another. Don't correct me if I'm wrong, because I think that's true. So, but it's as true as anything else I found on there. So here, it's how many pages. And so I was having a ponderable moment this past week, and so I went to my computer, and I brought up the internet, and I typed this question in: what is the most valuable thing? Because I wanted to know what the most valuable thing is, because I had thoughts of what the most valuable thing may be, but I really wanted to be enlightened by the internet, so I typed in, what is the most valuable thing? And so it didn't take too long, and the Google had a bunch of O's in it. There's lots of thoughts on what the most valuable thing is. So it come up, and the list begins with some sort of jewelry, and it had pictures of jewelry and had pictures of these multi-million dollar things that people have had built and different things. And there were boats, and there were houses, and there were works of art. And there was the International Space Station on two or three different of the pages at $150 billion. There was one at two or three pages deep that this guy paid $3.1 million for a tuna fish. I said, man, I've eaten a lot of tuna fish from Walmart. I mean, you could just, for like 59 cents a can or 99 cents or $1.20 maybe today, I don't know. But $3.1 million, the most valuable thing was a bluefin tuna. And over and over and over, just different pieces of Rembrandt and this and that and jewelry, and page after page after page after page of somebody answering the question, what is the most valuable thing? And I got a little tired of seeing houses and boats and jewelry and bluefin tuna. I didn't really like tuna. My mom added tuna. She opened up the can and it was like, boy, that's a different message. But that just $3.1 million for tuna. So I added some words to this, to the search. What is the most valuable thing in life? Just in life. I just added the words in life. I kept the same. It just went over spacebar in life. So I wanted to see what it was. Well, now we got a whole different set of things when you just add in life to the question. And then we get things like time is the most important thing. Real passion is the most important thing in life. Now, just the most important thing is the bluefin tuna. But the most important thing in life is real passion, authentic purpose. These are not my thoughts. These are right off the internet. Happiness and family and health and life experience and memories and friends and reputation and work ethic and earning potential. They're the most important things in life. But down at the bottom, after multiple pages, and I went to type something else, and they wanted me to ask, do you want to know what the most valuable player means? Well, I said, well, that's interesting, because it's the most valuable thing in life, but the most valuable player. Just so you know how I got here, when the most valuable thing in life. Then all of a sudden it says, you want to know about the most valuable player? I mean, this is like sucks you in and you can't get out of it. It's like got this big arm and it just grabs you and says, you want to know more about this? Don't leave us. Don't get off the internet. Come on. We got hours of this day left. You need to stay here and search more stuff. You need to know more stuff. I bet. So now I'm searching most valuable player. The one who contributed the most to success. That's what the most valuable player is. So I went back to the list. And I said this, I wonder if jewelry is the most valuable player. I wonder if a boat or a house or a painting or works of art or the International Space Station, is that the most valuable player? Does that contribute the most to success? And then I went down through the time and the real passion and the authentic purpose and so forth and so on. And I was trying to figure out which one was the most valuable player award. Tuna fell off the end pretty quick, but that's quite a choice. Which one of them will I give the most valuable player award to? And maybe you don't. I don't think I'm so abnormal that I don't think like other people. But which one would you give the most valuable player to? Just say for the last year of your life, the last 2 years of your life, which one would you give the most valuable player to? The one that's contributed the most to success, real success. And so I began to ponder that question and going over. Maybe I'd give it to family, or maybe I would give it to friends, or maybe I would give it to work ethic. That's got to be a valuable thing, right? Work ethic. But does it guarantee success? Does it deserve really just because I can work harder? Just because I'm not afraid to work 10, 12, 16 hours a day at times like many of you do? Does that get the most valuable player award? Which one got it? And I wrestled with that, and I really struggled with that. God, I don't think that any one of those, I could talk myself in and out of each one of those things. Then as I pondered about where we're going here, what we're doing, what are we doing? What is the most valuable thing in your life? On your list, what is the most valuable thing in life? And I'm not asking you to raise hands, but what is it? We're on this journey in these months together, these weeks together. We're on this journey for the more. And I began to read over again of Galatians 5:1, and it says, "It is for freedom that Christ has set us free." And I go over again, you can push the button, and I go over again to the 2 Corinthians. And therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. The old has come. The old has gone, and the new has come.
Come on now.
And John 10:10 says, "I have come that you may have life and have it to the fullest." And Psalm 23 says this, and you prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemy. You anoint me with oil. My cup overflows. We've been on this journey of the more. There's more. There's more freedom. There's more freshness. There's more fullness. And there's more food. And all of a sudden, I got to thinking, that can make my list. I want that, God. I want to know more about my freedom. I want more freedom. I'm not talking freedom of speech stuff and Second Amendment stuff. I'm not talking constitutional stuff right now. Freedom in Christ is what I'm talking about. I want more of that, God. I don't know if I'll ever have a boat. I don't know if I'll ever like tuna fish. I don't know if I'll ever get a big piece of jewelry or a Rembrandt. And I don't really care, God, because my list, I want more of you, God. That gets the most valuable player award in my life. That's what I want to say. But I don't always behave that way. And I wrestle with that. And I struggle with that. That more of God is the most valuable player in my life. The most valuable thing in life is the more. You can push the button. Is the more. The most valuable thing in life is the more. Nothing else can come close to receiving the most valuable player award. Do I believe the more is the most valuable thing in my life? You can push the button. Do I believe that? Do I believe that the more is the most valuable thing in my life? Am I willing to go after and receive the more no matter what? Is it the most important thing? It doesn't make the top of your list. Are you ready to award it? The most valuable player award in my life is more of God, is more of His freedom, is more of His fullness, is more of the food from His table. I want more. I want 140 miles an hour. I want more, God. And I don't know about those other things. But what if it costs me? What if it costs me something that I've worked hard and long for? What if it costs me a way of life? What if getting the more costs me a way of life? The rich young ruler said that, God, I want more, he said. He come to Jesus, I want more. And Jesus said, what does the Bible say? And he says, it says to do these. And he quotes off the last five commandments. And Jesus says, you've spoken right. But I'm not feeling it, he says. I want more, God. He says, sell all you have and give it to the poor. And come and get more from me. And the guy went away sad because he was a man of great wealth. He wasn't willing to give it all away for the more. The more was not the most valuable player award in his life. What if it alters, what if it costs you money and time and effort? What if it costs you relationships and job and a lifestyle? What if it cost us that? What if it cost us those things that we've worked hard for? And I'm not just suggesting that we empty our bank accounts and we quit our job and say, this is the way it is, I'm going to seek God for more. I'm not talking about made up seeking God. I'm talking as we seek God and things start to fall away from us because they're not of God. And because they may be good things, but they're not of God. And they start to fall away from us. Are we okay with losing some stuff to get more of God? Because sometimes I wonder if getting the more costs too much. And I'm not willing to pay the price. That getting more of God's going to cost you to move. That getting more of God's going to cost you to do something radical. Getting more of God's going to cost you to be a witness to your neighbor. Getting more of God's going to cost you something in life. And I don't know if I or us, are we? I'll just ask that. Are we willing to pay the price no matter what it is? To get more. I'm asking if the more is the most valuable thing to us. Jesus tells his disciples this in Matthew 6. He says, but first seek his kingdom and his righteousness, and this stuff will be added to you as you need it. The most important thing in your life is his kingdom and his righteousness. Are we seeking that? No matter what it costs, are we seeking it? The more is the most valuable thing in life. The more is the most important thing to us so that we can thrive in life. Look what it says in Philippians 3. We're going to turn there for a few moments this morning in Philippians 3. And I think Paul and the church of Philippi is wrestling with this very thing. And Paul has come on the other side of this in his life, and he's helping the church understand that the more is the most valuable thing in their life. No matter what it costs you, no matter what you have to give up, no matter where you have to go, no matter what, the more is the most valuable thing in your life. In Philippians, it says, finally, my brothers, rejoice in the Lord, or thrive in the Lord. Find your well-being in the Lord! It's no trouble for me to write the same thing to you again. It is a safeguard to you. Rejoice or find your well-being, thrive in God. It is a safeguard to you. You know what that means? It'll keep you from getting jacked up and jacking up other people. I don't have any problem telling you that, Paul. I don't have any problem sharing this with you because it's going to keep you from getting jacked up. You know what jacked up means in my world? Put a jack under it and take the drive wheels off the ground. Now, that has value at times, right? But you're going nowhere if your vehicle is jacked up. And so jacked up in my life says my drive wheels are off the ground. And Paul says, I don't have any problem talking to you about this. It's safeguard to you. It'll keep you from getting jacked up, and it'll keep you from jacking up everything else around you. And verse 2 says this, watch out for those dogs, those men who do evil, those mutilators of the flesh. And he's talking about an action that's just an external rote action that the church or the people are trying to get the church to adopt. And so he says this in 3 and 4, says, for it is we who are the circumcision, we who worship by the Spirit of God, who glory in Christ Jesus, and who put no confidence in the flesh. Though I myself have reason for such confidence, if anyone else thinks he has reason to put confidence in the flesh, I have more, he says. And then he goes on in 5 and 6. And he starts to list the things that he has could have confidence and did have confidence in. And he says this, circumcised on the eighth day. Just so you know, in that world, this would have been off the charts on your resume. He said, I was circumcised on the eighth day. Of the people of Israel, of the tribe of Benjamin, a Hebrew of Hebrews. In regards to the law, a Pharisee. As for zeal, persecuting the church. As for legalistic righteousness, faultless. I was born right. I did right. I had passion. I had a work ethic. I climbed the ladder in my career. I climbed it quick in my life. I had it all. Look what he says in 7. But whatever was my profit, whatever was my advantage, whatever was my step ahead, whatever was my step above anyone else, whatever value being born in the right family had, whatever value of being passionate had, and whatever value that being morally righteous had, whatever value that had, whatever was my profit, I now consider a detriment for the sake of Christ. It has no value, he said, compared to this for the sake of Christ. It's not the more that we need. It's not the more. You don't need more Pharisaic ways. You don't need more legalistic ways. You don't need more family drive. You don't need more right pedigree. You don't need more of that, is what he's telling them. They are not, listen, New Lifers, they are not, Paul's saying, any of that stuff is not the most valuable player in your life. I consider it all a detriment for the sake of Christ. Look what he says in 8. What is more, I consider everything a loss compared to the surpassing greatness of knowing Christ. I consider everything a loss compared to the surpassing greatness of knowing Christ. I consider jewelry and boats and houses and works of art and the International Space Station and time and passion and authentic purpose and happiness and family and health and life experience and memories and friends and reputation and work ethic and earning potential. I consider them a detriment. Not that they're bad. And not that they don't have some value. But they're not the most valuable player in your life. So compared to what? Knowing the surpassing greatness of Christ is the most valuable thing. What is more, I consider everything a loss to the surpassing, to compare to the surpassing greatness of knowing Christ Jesus, my Lord, for whose sake I have lost all things. I consider them rubbish that I may gain Christ. I'll tell you what, Paul pre-Jesus, if your daughter brought home Paul pre-Jesus, you'd have posted it on Facebook. If your daughter brought home post-Jesus, you'd have said, honey, what in the world are you doing? This guy's got no house. He's been beat. He's been in prison. He's got a record. He travels all over. And don't, listen, just let me say this as an aside. Don't think I can act like a bum and think I'm following Jesus. That's not what's going on here. But Paul says, I thought I had the world by the tail. I thought I had everything I needed. But on that road to Damascus, on that road when Jesus spoke to me, I realized that none of that has any value compared to the surpassing greatness of knowing Christ Jesus, my Lord. Nothing can compare to more of Jesus. Jesus at the center of it all, I can hear Jesus saying, man, that would be a great space to be. In your life. You're right. Jesus says, I am at the center of it all. But you ain't in the center. Come close. I consider them rubbish that I may gain Christ. Compared to everything else, the surpassing greatness of knowing, far exceeds everything else. Knowing, having the more, the most valuable thing in your life is more of Jesus. Look what he says in 9. And to be found in him. You know what, that's salvation all over that, to be freed. You know what salvation, we talked about this a few Wednesday nights ago. You know what the definition of salvation is? Freed from the power and the penalty of sin.
Come on now.
That's salvation. And he says that to be found in him, to be found, the salvation is delivered from the power of sin. Not having a righteousness of my own that comes from the law, but that which is through faith in Christ. A righteousness that comes from God and is by faith, he says. That's what I'm talking about, Church of Philippi. That's what I'm talking about. Your stuff, who cares? Climbing the ladder, who cares? Are you willing to give it all for the cause? Are you willing to give it all to know more of Jesus? Paul says the greatest thing in your life is to have more of Christ. I'm not sweating, but I'm spitting up a storm up here. It's a good thing you're not too close. And to be found in him. I need more deliverance, God. I need more deliverance from sin. I need to be found in you, Jesus. I need to be found in you. I'm going to wake up tomorrow morning and say, Jesus, I need to be found in you this morning. I need more of your salvation. I need to be delivered from the power of sin. Jesus, I can't do this on my own. I need more of you. I need more deliverance. I need more righteousness. I need more believing power. I need more trusting power, Jesus. I need more. I don't know if you'll give me a raise. I don't know if you're going to give me a vehicle. I don't know if you're going to give me health. I don't know what you're going to do in my family. But right now, all I need is you, Jesus. I need you. I need more of those things in my life. I need more deliverance and more righteousness and more believing power and more trusting. Verses 10 and 11 says this, I want to know Christ and the power of his resurrection. Did you ever just wake up in the morning and say, oh, I want to know more about the power of your resurrection. I want to know more about your power, Jesus. I want more power, more deliverance. Does that mean I just set my family to the curb? No. But your family, and just take this the way I think that God wants us to take it. Compared to knowing Christ, your family is a second. Knowing Christ is going to strengthen your marriage and your family. Strengthening your family will not help you know more about Jesus. Focus your efforts on knowing more about Jesus and watch where he'll lead you and watch where he'll guide you. What's got you jacked up? What's got you jacked up this morning? To know is this intimacy with Christ. I want to know your power. I want to be intimate with you, Jesus. I want to hear from you. And I want to have fellowship and share in his sufferings. I want to become more like Christ. I want more resolve. To attain the resurrection from the dead, I want more resolve. I want to finish well, God. And I want more deliverance and more righteousness and more believing and more trusting. And I want more intimacy and I want more power and I want more resolve. If you don't have a prayer focus yet, I would challenge us all to make that your prayer focus. Just wake up every morning and say, in Jesus' name, Jesus, I want more of that. And I don't care what it costs me. Look what he says in 12. Not that I've already obtained all this. I don't have it all yet. Or have been made perfect or complete. But I press on to take a hold of that for which Christ Jesus took a hold of me. I'm certain that Jesus did not take a hold of me for bluefin tuna. Jesus, I took a hold of you so you could have more deliverance, so you could have more power, so you could have more forgiveness. I took a hold of you so that you could have more intimacy with me. I took a hold of you so I could draw you close to me. I took a hold of you so you could finish well. Paul says, I haven't got there yet, but one thing I do, I have not made it. But I press on to take a hold of that for which Christ took a hold of me. I will not settle for anything else other than more of Jesus. Verse 13 says this, brothers, I do not consider myself yet to have taken a hold of it or the more. The deliverance, the righteousness, the believing, the trusting, the intimacy, the power, the resolve. But one thing I do is forgetting what is behind. Forgetting what is behind and straining toward what is ahead. Forgetting and straining toward. See, I would be probably a bigger smile if it's forgetting what is behind and coasting forward. forgetting what is behind and gently rolling down the hill. Forgetting what is behind and tiptoeing through the tulips with Tiny Tim. Forgetting what is behind, straining forward. Because the enemy doesn't want you to have more of Christ. I press on, 14. I press on toward the goal to win the prize for which God has called me heavenward in Christ Jesus. Straining, pressing, forgetting, taking a hold of all action words. The most valuable player in your life, you may not award that award to them, to this, but it's the more of Jesus. And look what he ends this passage with, and I'm going to end with this today. All of us who are mature should take such a view of things. And if on some point you think differently, that too God will make clear to you. That's a very nice way of saying you're getting it wrong. And I'm praying that God will change your brain. Because the most valuable thing in your life is more Jesus. Here we come. I'm going to have the more. And I want you to have the more as well. Stand with me today. Jesus, I just want to say thank you that I can even have more. Jesus, I just want to thank you that it's available, that the table has been set before me, that there is fullness, there is life, there is this fresh life for me. And Father, I don't want to get stuck down with the jewelry and the painting and the work ethic and the bluefin tuna. All those things are okay. And I can't put my marriage ahead of you, Jesus. I can't put my family ahead of you because they're not the most valuable player. And I think I would be expecting them to play a position that they're not able to play. So God, I seek you this morning for more deliverance, more intimacy, more power, more of Jesus. Jesus, you are at the center of it all. Jesus, you have heard us proclaim that earlier and just now. It's all about you. Nothing I desire compares to you. Father, may that just not be the words of my lips, but may it be the song of my heart. That nothing I can desire compares to you. Father, we're going to go out of here now. And we're going to release us into this world, into our families, and into the situations that you've called us to today. We're gonna go in multiple directions. And Father, I'm not asking you to go with us. I'm asking us to go with you. Because if I'm going to drag you where I want to go, it wouldn't be good. But if you're going to invite me to go where you're going, that's cool. So take us where you want us to go today. And maybe that's on the couch for a nap. Well, maybe it's another direction. May we hear you and follow you this day. In Jesus' name, amen. Have an amazing day.